Hello, welcome to NewsHour. It's live from the BBC World Service studios in central London. I'm Tim Franks. With all that's happening right now, the headlines about Sudan, about Kenya, about Israel, you might reasonably think that we've got enough to talk about, the normal business of what's going on and what often, sadly, is going wrong. We'll get onto all those issues a little bit later, but we're going to start the programme not on something that has definitely happened, but on a prediction. It comes from the man who's just stepped down as the senior developer of Google's artificial intelligence systems. He's called Geoffrey Hinton. He's also called, by his peers in computing, the godfather of AI. His resignation, he says, is not a dig at Google. Indeed, he says the company's behaved pretty responsibly. It's partly down to his age, he's 75, but also because of his concerns after a lifetime in the field about the very nature of AI, its perhaps uncontrollable potential. We'll try to explore that further in a moment. First, though, let's hear from the man. Geoffrey Hinton has been speaking to the BBC's Sumi Somaksanda.
I think one problem is that Microsoft decided to put one of these advanced chatbots into Bing and in other products. And Google doesn't have much choice but to respond to that. It can't just sit back and not compete with Microsoft. Before that, Google was in the lead in AI, and Google chose not to release these things because of all the dangers. It used them internally, and it used them to make search better and so on, but it didn't actually release them to the public, even though it had chatbots, because of the potential dangers. So in that sense, I think Google behaved very responsibly, but you can only do that when you're in the lead. And if you're competing with a company that's using these things, you have to use them too.
Geoff, Microsoft didn't come to this technology, of course, on its own. You've been part of the incredible research that has gone into AI over several years now. So who is responsible for AI reaching where it is now?
Well, we're scientists, right? We're exploring what happens when you train large neural nets on computers. And that's just reality that we ended up here. It's one of those things where there's no way that people weren't going to explore it. The issue is, now that we've discovered it works better than we expected a few years ago, what do we do to mitigate the long-term risks of things more intelligent than us taking control?
Let's talk about those risks, because you've said that you're worried about bad actors. What worries you the most about what could be used with this technology?
So there's a lot of things that a lot of other people have talked about to do with being able to produce lots of text automatically, so you can get lots of very effective spam bots. It'll allow authoritarian leaders to manipulate their electorates, things like that. I'm not really talking about those. There's another particular thing I want to talk about, which is the existential risk of what happens when these things get more intelligent than us. So quite recently, I've come to the conclusion that the kind of intelligence we're developing is very different from the intelligence we have. We're biological systems, and these are digital systems. And the big difference is that with digital systems, you have many copies of the same set of weights, the same model of the world. And all these copies can learn separately, but share their knowledge instantly. So it's as if you had 10,000 people, and whenever one person learned something, everybody automatically knew it. And that's how these chatbots can know so much more than any one person.
You've said, Geoff, yourself, that we don't know exactly yet how the human brain works. So how do we know that what you've just described does indeed eclipse human intelligence?
We don't know. And right now, what we're seeing is things like GPT-4 eclipses a person in the amount of general knowledge it has, and eclipses them by a long way. In terms of reasoning, it's not as good, but it does already do simple reasoning. And given the rate of progress, we expect things to get better quite fast. So we need to worry about that. Right now, they're not more intelligent than us, as far as I can tell. But I think they soon may be.
Geoffrey Hinton, one of the pioneers of artificial intelligence, talking to the BBC about his concerns over the accelerating pace of development in AI. So what can be done about that? It's something Natalie Smoocher has been conjuring with. She's a legal philosopher at the Catholic University of Leuven in Belgium and has previously worked as an advisor to the expert group on artificial intelligence for the European Commission, the executive arm of the EU. We'll get on to regulation and control of AI in a moment. First, what does she make of this intervention from Geoffrey Hinton?
You know, having someone like that publicly saying that there are risks, that it should be taken seriously, is important. I guess a lot of people in the AI community also have this sense of finally, you know, someone owning up to it and trying to proclaim, you know, publicly that something needs to be done about this.
He talked about bad actors, the possibility of people who've got malevolent plans sort of getting hold of this potentially extremely powerful tool. Do you think it's more to do with the issue of unintended consequences, that we might be developing something which could just develop in a way which we haven't really quite anticipated?
There are a lot of applications that bad actors can already use today, right, to cause harm, whether it's harm to individuals by, for instance, using voice cloning technology for fraud, or whether it is for spreading misinformation at a much larger scale. But I am more scared for these unintended consequences. Governments and large organizations and small organizations deploying these systems without first conducting appropriate risk assessments. So I'd very much like to focus on tackling those issues even before we get to, you know, the more hypothetical questions of what if AI becomes more intelligent than human beings.
Right. So on that, the European Union has been looking at some sort of artificial intelligence regulation. I mean, this is something that you worked with the officials at the European Commission. Where has the EU got in terms of regulation?
Yes, so right now we have a draft on the table. And the draft, for all the reasons for which it can be criticized, it's also kind of an honest attempt to try to come to grasp with this technology, to try to impose certain requirements on providers of the technology, on those who develop it and put it on the market, to mitigate the risks before they get, you know, used by potentially millions of people.
And obviously the EU, in regulatory terms, I mean, in trade terms, it is a very powerful global player, but it is just one global player. If legislation is passed, is it the sort of thing that you think can be a template for others to follow? China, Russia, are they likely to follow in the EU's footsteps?
I do think so. I mean, in China, there have already been a few regulations that passed on AI systems in a more narrow extent at the level of the Council of Europe, so which also includes the UK, for instance. An international treaty on AI and human rights is currently being drafted. There is a sort of first mover advantage that the EU might have, but others will have to follow suit because anyone who wants to enter the EU market with their AI system will have to abide by those rules and will have to incur these costs in any case.
And I guess that absolutely that could work when we're talking about commercial propositions. But I mean, it is difficult, isn't it? If you're talking about people who have got other intentions that maybe don't fit into that regulatory framework, the problem of AI, unlike sort of developing nuclear weapons, it's something that you can do in secret by and large. So your counter-argument might be, well, there's not much more that we can do than try and just control what we can control. But are you concerned that it may not be sufficient?
Well, you know, we have laws in place against murders, right? And people still get murdered. So it's not a good reason not to impose laws, even if it's just to show these are the norms we stand for in society. Right? We care about, for instance, values like democracy, human rights, the rule of law. So we are passing legislation that tries to mitigate the potential harms to these values. Is it sufficient? There is never a 100% watertight law out there. The law will always be broken, again, intentionally or unintentionally. But it's the best we can do. It's how we organize our society.
Natalie Smoocher, philosopher, legal expert at the Catholic University of Leuven, who has also worked, as I mentioned, on the expert group on artificial intelligence for the European Union's Commission.